After a sermon, we will sing Psalter 140 according to the second tune. Let us read again our sermon text this afternoon. Mark chapter 14, verse 72. And the second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereupon, he wept. No one likes to fail. Failure is a dreadful experience in life. Our security in life is often based on our sense of success. Our society constantly puts the spotlight upon those who succeeded greatly in various important areas of life. Sportsmen, scholars, actors, businessmen, farmers, and even preachers and pastors are judged by this one word, which is success. Until we reach this set goal of our lives, we continue to motivate ourselves to achieve that individual goal. Until we reach that goal, we would spend every energy and time and focus upon them. One goal, success, whatever we may do. Maybe you are one of those men who are working toward a successful business. Or you may be one of those students who want to be excelling in your academic career. Or it is just simply for you to be a very good mother at home successfully. Often we get discouraged and even crushed to the ground as most miserable people, as if our lives are meaningless without our goals having been met. We begin to judge people according to their success, and we estimate their value based on that. However, the scriptures teach us today with the story of Peter a different view on the failure of life. Peter does not only fail, he fell greatly. His sin was directly against his own master, whom he followed those years in Galilee, and who actually gave his life for him. What a deep fall to Peter. Our failures need not to be the end. God can even restore a failing and fallen person like Peter to bring unto him the greater glory through that failure. Our text passage can be found in Mark chapter 14, verse 72. We would like to find out how this one of the most dreadful experiences in life is reversed in one of the narratives of the scriptures. Our theme is then Peter's deep fall and Christ's mercy. With the Lord's help under this theme, we'd like to consider three thoughts. First, his deep fall prophesied. Second, his deep fall experienced. And third, his deep fall reversed. First, Peter's deep fall prophesied. It was the night before Christ was crucified, and Christ Jesus was now betrayed by Judas, one of the 12 disciples, arrested, carried before the chief priests at the palace of the high priest. The night was cold, and Peter was following Christ afar off. Some hours before he was arrested, Jesus spoke to Peter in a serious manner. Jesus said that the disciples would be offended because of him. Christ quoted the Old Testament, Zechariah 13:7. The shepherd would be smitten, and the sheep, therefore, would be scattered. It is obvious that this refers to Christ's capture and the disciples' desertion of Christ. Peter, one of the disciples, heard this and replied to Christ saying, "Although all shall be offended, yet will not I." Watch out, Peter. This is your proud heart speaking. Then Christ Jesus prophesied this saying, "Verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice." Here, clearly Christ was prophesying Peter's denier. The one who confessed earlier to Jesus saying, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," will be denying Christ Jesus according to this very prophecy. Peter obviously cannot agree with the Lord Jesus and more vehemently denied this prophecy, saying, "If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise." Congregation, clearly, there is something that we must watch in our passage. And we need to examine our own hearts. What Peter is doing here, every single Christian has capacity to do. We trust in ourselves, don't we, believers? We trust ourselves and the pride of our own strength. So much that we completely are blinded of the danger of trusting ourselves without trusting Jesus Christ, our Lord. Proverbs 16:18 says, "Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall." In fact, this pride constantly arises in the hearts of believers, even though they are once born again. The indwelling sin is still present in the flesh. And we are here by Christ Jesus warned in advance. In these words, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." Luke 22:31. Christians are not immune to fail, and indeed they can fail any time. J.C. Ryle says, "There is no degree of sin into which the greatest saint may not run if he is not held up by the grace of God, and if he does not watch and pray." Christ Jesus, as God-man, knew what was going to happen. Yet the love of Christ did not cease simply because they forsook him. He knows our frame. The Lord Jesus remembers that we are dust. Here we see the heart of Jesus. Christ Jesus even said to Peter about when the threefold denier would be completed. That exact moment was known to his mind. Even then, Jesus did not give up his own disciple. He loved Peter. That love has been shown in so many amazing ways in the lives of Peter, but especially at that time of temptation, Jesus said, "I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not." What a loving Savior we have here as God-man, as the very one who loves his brother. Christ already knows our frailty, but nevertheless, he does not give up his own sheep. Congregation, we have not yet seen in what ways Peter denied Jesus. There is a reason why the Holy Spirit enabled the recording of this portion in its most detailed way, including the exact timing for believers. The most heartbreaking and darkest event is recorded for our benefit, so that we may know how gracious our God is toward us, even when we go through the utter failure incomparable to any human standard. So we are brought to our second point, Peter's deep fall experienced. It was one of the most painful moments for Peter. Three times in a row, with only a little space in between, Peter was gradually sinking down and down into the trap of the Satan. In his pride, he was not armed. He was too weak and too vulnerable. Almost all of other Christ's disciples fled and forsook him, but Peter followed Christ into the palace of the high priest. All of a sudden, one of the maidens there said, "Thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth." Peter denies this exact truth of the relationship that he had with his Master, Christ, Lord, Jesus. Peter declares that he knows not him whom he had accompanied and lived with for 3 years. Can you imagine that? And that very moment, the cock crew for the first time. Then a second time, a maid began to say to people, "This is one of them," referring to Jesus and his disciples. Peter kept declaring that he did not know him. Imagine, he knows not him who has healed his own wife's mother. And also take him up into the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter, what a statement. He heals your wife's mother. You saw his glory. Now you say you do not know him? Soon after, again, people around him continue to say to Peter, "Surely thou art one of them." This time, they point out his Galilean accent, which is noticeable. Without realizing where he's falling, Peter continues to declare that he does not know his master who saved him from drowning in the Sea of Galilee. In addition, Peter insisted he did not know Jesus, beginning to call down curse and swear if he were telling a lie. In the meantime, his Lord and Master was abandoned and going through all the false accusations against him. People tried to get Christ crucified with false accusations. Christ said nothing. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. But Jesus could not violate the third commandment. When it was the question about whether he was the Son of God or not, Jesus broke his silence. Then everybody began to condemn Christ to be guilty of death according to his answer. They falsely accused him of blasphemy. Some spit on Christ, and others strike Christ with their hands. On that very dark night, Peter even did not seek Christ, though he was there for Christ. Christ did not reply to false accusations, but Peter negated three times what was so true about Jesus. with more and more emotion. Christ was obeying God the Father, but Peter disobeyed Christ more than three times. Christ said nothing against false accusations, but Peter contradicted the truth. See what a contrast between the holy mediator and the unholy Peter. Finally, it is at this point that the rooster crew the second time, just after Peter finished denying Christ the third time. Peter then remembered the word of Christ before the cock crow twice, "Thou shalt deny me thrice." Even it is written in Luke 22:61 that the Lord Jesus turned and looked upon Peter at that very moment. What a look of the Savior. Peter came to break down. Peter now comes to the first realization that he denied his Master and Lord and Savior, Christ. Until this very moment, he was blind about who he was in his capacity as a sinner. In this very moment when Christ's eyes landed upon Peter and Peter's eyes were met by the very loving eyes of Jesus Christ, he broke down. He began to realize who he was very first time as a sinner. How much he could be easily tempted and trapped by the devil. Is this you and I also can relate to? When you are so confident about your faith, not falling away from the Lord, suddenly, before you know, you gravely and deathly fall to the trap the devil put in your life. What can we do in that very moment when the eyes of Jesus fell upon our eyes and we realize that we committed such a great sin before God? Peter began to cry and he kept weeping bitterly. He left with heartfelt tears of repentance. You and I may not have the exact same situation as Peter was going through on that very night, but still, the devil can put out traps around us so that you may deny your relationship with Jesus Christ in the public places, in your home, or when you are by yourself alone. So many temptations. Have we not denied Jesus as confessing Christians at all? That might be exactly opposite to what you want to do, but don't you and I ever commit this dreadful sin? Peter could not do anything against the prophecy of Jesus Christ. But still, Peter was to blame for his deniers of Jesus. Peter did not arm himself with prayer and vigilance. Peter was far too boastful about his own strength. Peter did not really take appropriate caution based on Christ's prophecy earlier about this denier to come. He was driven by the situation and sinfully and dreadfully committed what he himself could not recover. Congregation, should this not bring us to humility when we see here in Peter something of our own heart, so empty of humility by nature? How is it possible with the Lord's people like ourselves that we can so deny the Savior? Have you asked yourself this question before the Lord honestly? What would you do if you were in Peter's shoes on that night? You see what an eternal wonder it is that God has not given us over to ourselves to live and die in our own sins. Actually, He came to us in the beginning and He showed us His love when we do not deserve any of His love. And even when we are in sin, God is willing to take us out of that trap. Unbelieving friends among us, isn't that true? You are also full of pride. You think you can live in your own strength even more than Peter? You think you do not need the Lord? God's word is calling you this afternoon to see your own heart. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Imagine we are carrying this heart with us today. Once you confess what an Adam's fallen heart you have by nature, shouldn't we all confess with David that "I am evil, born in sin, thou desirest truth in me"? Isn't this leading to the true blessing? This leads us to our third point, his deep fall reversed. The tears of Peter flow without interruption. He denied his dear master three times, not once, nor twice, three times. It was seen clearly to his very own eyes. And with that fall, Peter came to such a realization that he can't do it. Before, he thought he could do something, but now it is his dead end. It seems that all things is finished. Nothing could be recovered out of that deniers on that night to his eyes. What can he do? This denier is very significant because he cut the bridge. He removed the line between him and his Lord by doing that. Congregation, there is yet hope, not from our side, but when we think of the Lord's mercy. who is worthy of His mercy. Even today. And Peter was also the recipient of the Lord's mercy on that night. Listen here what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 7, 9 to 10. Now I rejoice not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the word worketh death. When Peter thought the word of Jesus, he wept. That is the evidence that his heart was repenting on that very moment as he was crying. That was not tears from his eyes because he was bitter about the punishment of the sin or his fear about the punishment to come. But he was truly feeling the pain in his heart that he denied his Lord. This is a deep sorrow, which is the fruit of the work of the Holy Spirit. This is the fruit of Christ's prayer for Peter before, and Christ's look of loving care for Peter still. Christ said, "Nevertheless, I have prayed for you." Here we see that the part of prophecy is fulfilled. Peter's faith produces mourning, a poverty in spirit, hungering and thirsting for righteousness, a deep sorrow for sin worked by God through the Holy Spirit. Even after his denier, the precious faith was retained by the work of the Holy Spirit. Zechariah 12:10 says this, "And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn." When the Holy Spirit really touches you, convict you with your sin, then you realize that your very sin pierced the precious Savior's body. Your sin contributed the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. You realize. And Peter was not an exception to that under the spirit of true sorrow and supplication. Do you see, congregation, how we have here a true reason of hope? Hope in God who raises the dead. Hope in God who gives true repentance. Hope in God when all other hope is lost on our end. We know what happened eventually to this Peter. Jesus visited Peter in the Sea of Galilee again as he was out there fishing. And Jesus, according to his deniers, asked him 3 times, "Do you love me?" And in that way, Peter was restored completely from his sins and deniers. And Peter was greatly used by God in the early church history to bring that glorious gospel for the conversion of many sinners. Thousands of souls were being cut to the heart, and they repented, and they were returned to the Lord. Peter could not come to the Lord without any pleading ground but for mercy. He did not deserve any mercy. None of us deserve His mercy. Even after his denier, this faith was kept through the prayer of Jesus Christ in Peter. Christ Jesus also said to Peter on that night before this denier, "When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Peter repented and returned to God through the propitiation of Jesus Christ. His weeping, though it is an outward sign, should be taken as reflecting his own heart of repentance. As the prophet Joel said, Peter rent his heart as well as his garment over his sin. Dear congregation, is Jesus Christ our only hope? Or do we have any other ground for hope in us? The Bible clearly says that you must repent of your sin. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Do not say that you don't have any sin. Don't say that. Then you deceive yourselves. Neither say that your sin is too great. Then you despair like Judas, who found no place of repentance. While Peter wept bitterly, he went to Jesus for forgiveness, but Judas was only full of despair without hope in Christ. Will you, with your sin, come to Jesus Christ? I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance, Christ says. Not only first time, again and again, we are sinners. Also remember this, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Psalm 130, 3 and 4. Dear people of God, what you saw and heard from today is a great warning to you. No saint is safe from sin just because they are Christians. Like Peter, like David, we can do nothing but weeping loudly when we fall in sin again. God can change any spiritual defeat into the victory for God's glory, as in Peter's life. That defeat and failure will mature you, and it will make your faith stronger than ever, so that you may comfort others who failed like you. Peter, having gone through such a painful failure, could encourage his convicted brothers to repentance. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. We also have beautiful epistles written by Peter to comfort those who are in tribulations and trials in this life by Peter. When you sin, there are three things that you should avoid. First, do not delay coming to the Lord. Logically, you think that you cannot go to God for forgiveness immediately after you sin. It may be because you deny your sin, thinking that that was not a sin that you committed unto God, thinking that you are blind still to that sin. Please do not delay. Confront yourself by the Holy Spirit. Come to Jesus just as you are, no matter how bad situation it may be. As you see yourself, don't delay. Second, when you sin, do not try to do something good before coming to the Lord and turning to Him for help. You may think that by doing good, you can do something to take away part of your sin, but that doesn't work. Every single sin has to be washed away only by the blood of Jesus Christ. Not by our own efforts, our endeavors, or our law keeping. Not at all. And third, do not despair artificially. You think that you must despair before you repent. All of these are human delaying, human doing, and human despair. And Jesus said, again, clearly, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Sinners. All kinds of sinners, old sinners, young sinners, new sinners, we are called to come. None of our human efforts could substitute this work of Christ, as it cannot be repeated, it cannot be added to, and it cannot be made better by our human work. When it is about our sin, repent immediately. Therefore, after you have sinned like Peter, there is no reason to stay long in sin when you know it is sin that you have committed. The ground of forgiveness is not with us. It is with the Lord's mercy through Jesus Christ. And remember, Jesus said, it is finished. That means He has done all, not us. Amen. Let us pray.